Galatians chapter 3, the title of the message is The Promise of God. The promise of God. Sonship. That's the promise of God. Sonship. Verse 6, Galatians 3 says, even as Abraham believed God, it was imputed to him for righteousness. Abraham was a righteous man. He was a righteous man in Christ Jesus. He's called in the Scriptures the friend of God. God said, I speak to Abraham as a man does to his friend, face to face. Righteous man and the friend of God. And Abraham is the head and father of the nation Israel. He's the first Israelite. The first one. He's the first of the circumcision. He's the first man on earth ever circumcised. Abel was never circumcised. Adam was never circumcised. Enoch, Noah, Job, none of these men. But Abraham was the first. And he's the one in whom these Jewish teachers gloried. They said, we have Abraham to our father. They said to Christ, you're not 50 years old. You seen Abraham? And they would have these Gentile Galatians circumcised in imitation of Abraham. That's what they were saying. In order to be saved, you've got to be circumcised. Keep the law. Jewish law, Levitical law. And yet, Abraham lived 430 years before God ever gave the Levitical law. 430 years later, God gave the law to Moses on Sinai. And Abraham was justified by faith and declared righteous before God 15 years before circumcision was ever heard of. That's right, 15 years before it was ever heard of. He was already declared by God to be a righteous man. That's the reason Paul said in the next verse, verse 7, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, not of circumcision, not of the law, not of works, they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Everyone who has faith in Christ, not those who are circumcised or keep the law, but those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, as Abraham did, to whom God preached the gospel of Christ. They are the children of Abraham. For verse 8 says, and the Scriptures, the Word of God, the Scriptures foreseeing that God would justify the heathen, the Gentiles, the Galatians, through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Let's go back and look at that encounter in Genesis chapter 12, chapter 15 and chapter 17. Chapter 12 first. Now here's Abraham, chapter 12, living down in the land of idolatry. That's right, Abraham and his father and his brother were worshiping idols. He was 75 years old. And God said, chapter 12 of Genesis, the Lord said, now the Lord had said unto Abraham, Abram was his name then, God called him Abraham later, he said, get out of your country, from your kindred, a bunch of idol worshippers, from your father's house, unto the land I'll show thee, and I'll make of thee a great nation, and I'll bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I'll bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curse thee, and in thee shall all nations of the earth be blessed. How's he going to bless all the nations of the earth? Through him, Christ is coming. Christ is coming. House and lineage and of Abraham, tribe of Judah, root of Jesse. All right, that's the first call God gave to Abraham. Now look at chapter 15. 75 years old. You notice that? Well, verse 4. First, let's go back to chapter 12. Let me show you how old he was. So Abram departed, as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him, that's his nephew. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. He's exactly the same age I am right now. 75 years old when God called him, saved him, and gave him his promise of life, and that he would be a seed through which Christ would, the seed would come through Abraham. All right, Genesis 15 now, verse 1. Now, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I'm your shield and your exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus. I don't have any sons. How am I going to have a seed? Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house, a servant's my heir. Don't have any sons. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come out forth out of your own bowels shall be thine heir. You'll have a son. Sarah will bring forth a son. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if I be able to number them. And he said, So shall thy seed be. That's the people of God, believers, people of faith in heaven, as the stars of the sky. Millions and millions and millions, an untold number, innumerable, a number no man can number. That's right. That's what he told Abraham. And verse 6 says, He believed in the Lord. He believed God, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Right there, Abraham is righteous. He believed God, and he's righteous. That's what Paul wrote in Romans 4. What hath Abraham found? Well, he's found righteousness. By his works? No. The Scripture said he believed God, and it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now, turn to Genesis 17. Here's where he met circumcision. He's already declared righteous before God. God's the only one who can declare a man righteous. Genesis 17. All right, here we are. Genesis 17. Now Abraham's 90 years old. That's 15 years later. And the Lord appeared to Abraham and said to him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be ye perfect or sincere. I make a covenant between me and you, and I multiply thee exceedingly. And Abraham fell on his face. And God talked with him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant's with thee, and thou shalt be the father of many nations. Now go down to verse 9. And God said to Abraham, Thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore, thou and thy seed after thee in their generations, and this is my covenant, which you shall keep between me and you, and thy seed after thee, every man child among you shall be circumcised. That's the first mention. That's it right there. And you shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin. It will be a token of the covenant between me and you, and he that is 8 days old, when a child's born, when he's 8 days old, they circumcised him and named him. And when he's 8 days old, shall you be circumcised among you, every man child in your generation, he that's born in your house, or bought with money, or any stranger which is not of thy seed, even your servants. Everybody lives in your house. Everybody worships God will be circumcised. But these fellows in Galatia wanted to carry that over. And they said to the people of Galatia, some of the folks heard Paul preach, they said, Man has to be circumcised to be saved. He has to keep the law of Moses and the Jewish requirements. This is This is a sign of the covenant. All right, now let's go down to verse 9. So then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Abraham was justified before God and righteous before God when he believed God by faith. And everything that Abraham did after that was because he believed God. And because God had imputed righteousness to him. Now look at verse 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. Now notice Paul didn't say as many as were of the works of the law are under the curse. He says as many as are, then and now. As many as are of the works of the law. Everyone, doesn't matter who he is or who she is, Jew or Gentile, who seeks justification before God by keeping the law, by the rituals and ceremonies and deeds of the law, or by works in any form, is under a curse. Isn't that what it says? As many as are of law, works, ceremonies, circumcision, Sabbath days, touch not, taste not, handle not, who thinks that he's accepted of God by what he does, he's under a curse. Why? Because it's written. Look at verse 10. Because it's written. This is what the law says. Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things written in the book of the law to do them. That's what the law says. And that's the reason people are under curse who don't keep the law. All of it. Where does it say that? Well, let's turn and see. First of all, in Leviticus. In Leviticus chapter 18, he says that everybody, as many as are of the works of the law who are trying to be justified before God by their works, they're under a curse. Because it says in Leviticus chapter 18, Leviticus 18, verse 5, listen to this. Leviticus 18, 5, ye, you have it? Verse 4, ye shall do my judgments, keep my ordinances, walk therein, I'm the Lord your God. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgment, which is if a man do, he'll live. If he does everything God commands, he'll live. I'm the Lord. That's a promise. I turn to Deuteronomy chapter 27. He's got to do all of it now, not just what he's able to do or what appeals to him. He's got to do all of it. Deuteronomy 27. Deuteronomy 27, verse 26. Deuteronomy 27, verse 26. Now here's came to the end of this chapter of all these commandments. Verse 26. Cursed be he that confirmeth not all the words of this law to do them. And all the people said, amen. Man's cursed. That doesn't keep all the law. It's not knowing the law that saves or approving of the law that saves. It's not trying to keep the law that makes a man righteous. It's being perfectly conformed to everything God says. That's what he says over here in Romans 10. Look at Romans 10. Romans 10, verse 5. Romans 10, verse 5 says, for Moses describes the righteousness which is of the law. Now, there's righteousness in Christ, his righteousness imputed or reckoned or charged to us through faith, or is your righteousness. And the righteousness which is of the law is this what Moses said, that a man which doeth these things shall live by them perfectly. Perfectly. And what's the conclusion then? Look at my text again, Galatians 3. Verse 10, as many as are of the works of the law, who are trying to be justified before God by what they do, they're under the curse. Because it's written, cursed is everyone that continueth not, in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them. Not some of them, but all of them. Therefore, verse 11, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, that's evident. Why is it evident? Because no man's ever kept the law. That's why it's evident. Now let me tell you something, three things here. Number one, there were many people who were justified before God before the law ever was given. Justified before God before the law was ever given to Moses. Abel was just, that's what Scripture said. Noah, being warned of God of things not seen, by faith, prepared an ark, saved himself and his house. Enoch walked with God by faith. And he had this testimony, he pleased God. How did he please God if he wasn't perfect? He's perfect in Christ. He pleased God. And God took him home. He just walked into heaven one day. Job, God said, Have you contended with my servant Job? He's a righteous man. No law given. Job didn't have any written law. Abraham, 430 years before the law, justified. So plenty of people have been justified before the law was given. And plenty of people were justified before God after the law was given. To name a few, Moses, Aaron, Joshua, just before God, Caleb, David, because Moses wrote of me, Christ said. Please. Jeremiah, Isaiah, talked about our Redeemer. So if many men justified, men and women justified before the law and after the law, and many justified by faith since Christ came and obeyed the law and abolished it. Peter, Paul, James, John, you, me. So there are men justified before the law was given, after it's given, after it's fulfilled. But this one thing is settled. No man was ever justified by the law. No man had been justified before it was given, after it's given, after it's fulfilled, but no. No man, verse 11, no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. Now you just pull out any law you want to pull out. It doesn't matter whether it's called a church standard or whether it's called a church covenant or whether it's called a church confession of faith or anything you want to. But there's nobody going to be justified by rules and regulations and works and law. Not before God. Not before God. Not before God. For, he said, listen, verse 12, verse 11, for the just shall live by faith. The justified, that's who that is, the justified shall live by faith. That's in the Bible four times. You know that? Let's just, you just listen. I'll turn here and read. Habakkuk 2, verse 4. Behold, his soul which is lifted up, is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith. In Romans 1, that's in Habakkuk 2, 4, in Romans 1, verse 17, listen. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein, in the gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed from one degree of faith to another. For it's written, the just shall live by faith. By believing God. That's how the justified live. And then in Hebrews 10, verse 17. Hebrews 10, verse 17. It says, Hebrews 10:17 says, I got the wrong verse. Anyway, it's in Hebrews 10 somewhere. The just shall live by faith. What does this mean, the justified shall live by faith? Well, first of all, it means those who are justified begin life by faith. That's how we begin life. When God finds us, we're dead in sin. You have to quicken who are dead in trespasses and sin. And that's the first thing that takes place when God saves a man. He gives him life. He gives him life and gives him faith at the same time. That's right, at the same time. Let me show you a scripture on that now. We begin to live spiritually by faith. In 2 Thessalonians, let's turn over and look at this. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Paul says, but we're bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. But election's not salvation. It's unto salvation. Because God chose a man, that doesn't mean he's saved. It means he will be, but he's not yet. Because he chose you unto salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here's a dead sinner. God loves him. He doesn't love God. God knows him and he doesn't know God. God's chosen him, but he hasn't chosen God. He's his own worst enemy. And he's the enemy of God by nature. But the Holy Spirit comes, wind bloweth where it listeth. You can hear the sound, but you can't tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. Even so are they that are born of the Spirit. And the Spirit comes and begets and quickens and awakens a sinner. Of his own will begat he us. How? With the word of truth. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. We're born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed, by the word of God. And a man is not saved who doesn't look to Christ, is he? Man's not saved who doesn't believe on Christ. He said, he that believeth on the Son is born of God. That's right. And so we start life by faith. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation. It's the power of God. And you, at the same time, the Holy Spirit awakens you. He'll do it with the word. I promise you. You can call that gospel regeneration or anything you want to. It's Almighty God's regeneration. It's spiritual regeneration. But it's by the Word. It's got to be the seed of the Word. You can't be saved not know Christ. You don't have a bunch of people running around here born again that don't know Christ, do you? I know whom I have believed. That's when I began life, is when I believed on Christ. That's right. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. All right, I begin life. The just shall live by faith. And the just continue to live by faith from spiritual birth to the grave. Turn to 1 Peter. We live by faith. We live on the Word of God. We live on the blood of Christ. We live on the righteousness of Christ. We live on the Word. That's the children's bread. It says here in 1 Peter 2, listen. Verse 2, 1 Peter 2:2. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word. That's the first thing that baby gets when he's born is mama's milk. And that's how he grows. That's how he survives. He can't survive without milk. I had a preacher. I have to interject this. These things come through my mind. I tell them anyway. Preachers preaching on bullheaded children. He said, the reason y'all got so many bullheaded children, they're not drinking that mama's milk. They're drinking that cow's milk. That's what makes them bullheaded. But that child is on milk. And that's what this child's on. All my life. It says here, his newborn babe desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. If so be you've tasted, the Lord is gracious. To whom what? To whom coming? I came to Christ and I'm still coming to Christ. Still coming to Christ. And that to whom coming? As unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God, coming to Christ. Still believing. We live by faith. And let me tell you, turn to Revelation 7, and that's how you're going to live in His presence. In Revelation 7, when we're taking the glory, everybody's taking the glory, it's going to be a believer in Christ. Revelation 7, verse 13, and one of the elders answered me and said, who are these that are arrayed in white robes, and where do they come from? And I said to him, sir, you know. And he said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Now, there's not going to be anyone in glory who does not have faith in Christ. It can't be. It just can't be. Who are these? I saw this great crowd that had palms, and they were singing Salvation to Our God. He said, who are these? These are they. Came out of great tribulation and washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. Alright, verse 12. The law is not of faith. All this, you observe days and months and times and years, and touch not, taste not, handle not, new moons and Sabbaths. This is not of faith. Law is not of faith. Somebody wrote one time, the law doesn't require faith. It requires obedience. The law doesn't recognize or take notice of your faith. It requires obedience. The law has nothing to do with man as a believer. The only thing the law says is you do this and live. You don't do it and you die. That's all. That's the law. That's just it. The law says the man that obeys lives. The man that commits one sin, that's to be guilty of all the law. Just one sin. Word, thought, or deed. He dies. There's no hope for any person in the law of circumcision, the law of Moses, the law of ceremonies. Well, how on earth can a man be justified before God then? That's what Job and his friends asked. Just let me turn and read it over here in Job chapter 25. That's the big question. Job 25, verse 4, listen. How then can man be justified with God? How can he be clean as born of a woman? Behold, even to the moon it shineth not. The stars are not pure in God's sight. How much less a man? It is a worm. And the Son of Man, which is a worm. Well, we need to read that over and over again. Well, how can we be justified? Verse 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. Oh, there it is. Christ hath redeemed us. That's how we're justified. That's how we're redeemed. Christ hath redeemed us. Well, who is this Christ? The woman at the well said to this man, Jesus of Nazareth, who was talking to her, and said, if you knew who was the gift of God, who it is that talks to you, you'd ask of me, and I'd give you living water. After a while, she said, well, I know when the Christ comes, he'll tell us all things. And he said, I that speak to thee, me. Who is this Christ? It's Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God. The Son of God. In Isaiah, let's look at Isaiah a minute. Isaiah chapter 42. Prophecies, back here in the Old Testament. He's called my servant. Isaiah 42:1, behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I put my spirit upon him. He'll bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He'll not cry up, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flax shall he not quench. He'll bring forth judgment unto truth, and he'll not fail. And he'll not be discouraged till he set judgment and righteousness in the earth. The isles wait for his law. Let's look at verse 53. This is who we're talking about. Chapter 53 of Isaiah. It says in verse 10, Isaiah 53:10, please the Lord to bruise him. Isaiah 53:10, please the Lord to bruise him. God put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he'll see. He shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hands. I love these shalls. He shall see the travail of his soul. He shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. There's who redeemed us. Look at chapter 61 of Isaiah. I believe I could stay in Isaiah for 10 years just preaching Isaiah's gospel. In Isaiah 61, the Lord Jesus is speaking here. He says, the Spirit of the Lord God's upon me. He hath anointed me to preach good news to the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Who redeemed us? Christ redeemed. Christ hath redeemed us. Who did he redeem? I gave you this years ago, and I dug it out again. Some of you weren't here when I gave it. But these are the folks that are known. These people who are redeemed out of every kindred, tribe, nation, tongue under heaven. They're the people who are called as many as. As many as. He's the Redeemer now. And who's he going to redeem? The Lord Jesus in John 17:2 says, Father, thou hast given me all power over all flesh, that I should give eternal life to as many as you gave me. That's who they are. As many as the Father gave him. In Acts 13, Paul was preaching to the Gentiles. It said, and the Gentiles were glad. And they glorified God. And they received the word. And as many as were ordained alive believed it. That's who believed it. As many as the Father gave him. As many as were ordained alive. And in Acts 2, Peter said to that crowd at Pentecost, this promise is to you and your children, and to as many as the Lord our God shall call. That's who's redeemed. Those the Father gave him, those the Father ordained alive, and those the Father called. And then in John 1:12, it says he was in the world, and the world didn't know him. And he came to his own didn't know him. But as many as received him, to them gave you the power to be sons of God. To whom? As many as received. You receive him. He gave you power to become the Son of God. And in Romans 3:6-3, it says, and as many as were baptized into his death, children of God. Baptized unto his death. He died, the third rose again. And I'm identified with him. Baptized unto his death, his burial, his resurrection. And Romans 8:14 says, as many as are led by the Holy Spirit, sons of God. That's who they are. That's many as. As many as. Well, how are they redeemed? Let's look at it. Verse 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. Being made a curse. That word made, I looked at that. He was made a curse. Hebrews 7 said he was made the surety of the covenant. God made him our surety. He was made of the seed of David. House and lineage from Abraham to the house of David. God made him of the seed of David. John 1 said he was made flesh and dwelt among us. Galatians 4 said he was made of a woman, made under the law. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, let's look at this one. I want you to look at this. 2 Corinthians 5:21. He was made our surety. He was made of the seed of David. He was made flesh and dwelt among us. He was made of a woman, made under the law. And here, listen to this. Verse 21. For God hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Oh, I like that. Who made him surety? God did. Who made him of a woman? Made him of the seed of David? Who made him sin for us? God did. Why? That God might make us righteous in him. That's not by circumcision or law or baptism or church membership. That's by Christ. Now here's the closing, verse 14. Galatians 3:14, that the blessing of Abraham, can you comprehend this? Been talking about Abraham righteous, Abraham the friend of God, Abraham the son of God, that the blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. Those same blessings, sonship and righteousness through Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ. I can't be any clearer. Through Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit, the promise of sonship. How? Through faith. Faith in Jesus Christ. Now, I want to tell you something. He said, brethren, you know, he called them foolish in the first verse. I looked that up, and one of the old writers said, well, Paul was upset with them. And he called them foolish, because they'd fallen after that bunch of them. Free will preachers that came through. And now he calls them brethren. He calls them brethren, hoping that the damage caused by those fellows might be repaired by the truth of God. maybe so. But he says, you foolish Galatians. And then down here in verse 15, he says, brethren, I speak after the manner of men, that though it be a man's covenant, yet if it's confirmed, in other words, if a man makes a last will and testament, puts it on paper, signs it, they witness it, confirm it, it can't be overturned. It can't be disannulled. It can't be added to. If it's properly signed, sealed, and confirmed. So, verse 16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. And he said, not unto seeds as of many, but as one, to thy seed which is Christ, and to his seed in Christ, and to his sons in Christ, and to his church which is the body of Christ, the promise is made. And this I say, that covenant, that everlasting, that covenant was covenant's testament, last will and testament, that was confirmed before of God in Christ from the foundation of the world. The law, which was 430 years after, can't possibly disannul it I'll make it a non-effect. That's ridiculous. God gave the promise to Abraham through Christ, his seed. God made the promise long before, but he gave the promise to Abraham. And that can't be disannulled by anything that took place down the road. Because, verse 18, if the inheritance be of law, it's not a promise. But you can bank on this. He gave it to Abraham by promise. And that's where it's given to you. The promise of God. All right, let's sing a closing hymn.